Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Again, you've heard it that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but fulfill the Lord the vows you have made." But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Looking back, I have no idea how we pulled it off. And I certainly have no idea how my dad and I didn't get pulled over for excessive speeding. But here I was sitting in the car with my dad as my dad drove me from my state solo and ensemble competition south of Grand Rapids, Michigan, to my regional science Olympiad or nerd tournament 45 minutes north of Grand Rapids in record time. And let me tell you, it was certainly record time. Let me back up and explain a little more of the dilemma. You see, I had overcommitted myself. I was both in band and I was the captain of our science Olympiad team, or nerd team, if you want to refer to it as that. And I had received a high score at my regional solo and ensemble competition and automatically said yes to performing at state without checking my calendar to realize that I also had an important competition for our regional Science Olympiad tournament. I had 5 different events that I was competing in that day for regionals, and I had a very large and complicated solo for solo and ensemble. And at one point, 2 weeks before this, my parents were looking at the calendar and we both realized the same thing at once. Solo and ensemble was south of Grand Rapids, and the Science Olympiad tournament was all the way up in Alma, Michigan. There was no way that I could make both work, but I had committed myself to both. And thus began the most stressful 2 weeks of my life at that point. It's gotten much more stressful after that. But, you know, as a high school student, these were the most stressful days of my life because somehow I had to figure out how I could keep saying yes to both good things. And so the solution was to hop on a conference call with the state director of the Michigan Band and Orchestra Association to see if I could get the very first time slot for the solo and ensemble competition. And so my petition was granted, and then I had to move one competition, one exam in my Science Olympiad tournament so that I wasn't competing the first thing in the morning, and somehow I got there with 5 minutes to spare. As I look back at that experience, what I learned was that I was being too careless with the commitments I was making. You see, the world is full of many good things, but it would be irresponsible and a lot of times impossible for us to say yes to all of the good things that come our way. As we engage Jesus's teachings on oaths and vows in the Sermon on the Mount this morning, Jesus has a similar message to share with his followers. You see, Jesus wants kingdom people to be known as people who follow through on their word. Like God, kingdom people are faithful in all that they have promised, not just some things. And in just a moment, we're going to reread our scripture passage again this morning. But before I do, I want to connect some dots of what is going on with Jesus's teachings, because we have to remember, while we have been journeying through the Sermon on the Mount, as we hear each segment of teaching, it is easy to just assume that the Sermon on the Mount is just a collection of teachings of Jesus gathered up over time. But it's important to remember that this is one sermon given by Jesus in one sitting, from beginning to end, even though we are parsing it out to take a deeper dive for our own formation. We have to remember that everything Jesus is teaching is connected. And I think if we look back at a couple of key connection points, it will help us make sense of what Jesus is truly trying to teach his followers there on the mountainside, and truly trying to teach each and every one of us as kingdom people. This is one unified teaching of Jesus. Earlier, at the beginning of his sermon, Jesus says to his followers, to whom we refer to as kingdom people, he says that kingdom people are responsible for representing Christ and his kingdom through both the words they say and their actions. He says that we are salt of the earth, to be wary of losing our saltiness, and that we are the light of the world. And he warns us that we have a responsibility for witnessing to Christ and his kingdom. And if we are not careful at all times, we could destroy the reputation of Jesus and his kingdom. It is an enormous task that he has given. And the purpose of this sermon is to form each of us into the type of kingdom people that represent Christ and his kingdom at all times to all people. As we continue throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we see that Jesus is raising the bar to his followers of what righteousness needs to look like. Jesus, yes, has come to fulfill all of the law in the words of the prophets, but he says that he is not abolishing the law either. He is calling his followers to a greater type of righteousness than what was being taught in the Jewish law. Last week, as an example of this greater righteousness, we see Jesus talking about marriage and divorce. Here, Jesus is restricting what constitutes as the right type of divorce. But what Jesus is really getting at here is the importance of the covenants, the promised agreements that we make between God and ourselves, that we make between each other before God and marriage and others. Covenants are sacred bonding agreements. And what Jesus is starting to extrapolate in his case study on marriage and divorce is that the problem that we face, the problem that the followers of Jesus faced some 2,000 years ago as well, the problem we face is that we do not take the promises that we make to one another. We do not take the oaths that we make to one another and the oaths that we make with God seriously enough. Jesus is saying if more people were truly serious about the covenant that they establish through marriage, we would see less divorces happening. And here, Jesus is continuing this train of logic on the importance of the words that we use, of the oaths and the vows that we make to one another and make with God. This is what Jesus has to say. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." As Jesus starts this case study on greater righteousness of our oaths and vows, of our word, he pulls the biblical wisdom of fulfilling one's oaths. Both Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21, and Numbers 30, verse 2, talk about the importance of keeping our word to one another and keeping our word in the vows that we make to the Lord. For God, it is important that we follow through on what we say. And too often, in our human condition, I love the prayer of confession we have been using throughout our teaching series that talks about our natural human posture. Our natural human posture is try to get out of our word, is to forget the vows that we have made to one another, to forget the promises that we have made to the Lord. But Jesus is saying that we, in our own fallen nature, are just not fully capable of following through. It raises the question, when I read this passage, why would Jesus raise the bar of righteousness on this? Isn't the biblical advice to follow through on your vows good enough? Certainly, this is sound teaching that Jesus is using. Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord all of the vows you have made. But you see, the problem is, in our natural human nature, as much as we try, as hard as we might want things to work out, even with the best of intentions, we still fall under the curse of sin. And we still cannot fully follow through on what we say we are going to do. And so through this, because of the sacredness of an oath or a vow, Jesus is saying this: it is better not to make a vow at all than risk the potential of breaking your commitment to another. Throughout history, throughout the history of the story of God's faithfulness, we have seen that humanity is not capable, even despite our best intentions, even despite the most righteous individuals. Other than Jesus, time after time, we have seen in the story of God's faithfulness to his people that they have forgotten the vows they have made to the Lord. They have forsaken one another. But the good news that we see in this is that we gather today in this space. And we live by faith today because God is faithful in all that he has promised us. The good news that we see that Jesus is foreshadowing in our passage this morning is that even though we are not capable of fulfilling the oaths and the vows that we make to one another, God is capable of fulfilling his promises that he has made to humanity. And so the Word became flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, came to live the righteous life that we could not live ourselves. Jesus became the fulfillment of every single promise God has made to humanity. And he humbled himself to death, death on the cross. On this cross of Calvary, Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died so that we might be reconciled to God. It is an example of how God will not and does not abandon the covenants he has established with humanity. This is the example that God sets for us. And therefore, we don't need to make oaths or vows to one another or God. But what Jesus is asking his followers and is asking you and I to do is simply to be people that do what they say they are going to do. As we look at this teaching, how do we apply it today? I have two suggestions for us. The first, in following the theme of being true to our word, we need to let our yeses be a yes and our noes be a no. And a lot of times, just like my high school self realized, the only way you can be true to your word, to following through on all of the commitments that you make, is by creating enough margin in your life so that you can follow through well. If I had been more careful about my word, I wouldn't have immediately signed up for the state solo and ensemble competition. And do you want to know the irony in all of that? So we rush to Granville. I had perfected the solo. I could do it inside and out. I could not fail, except for that morning. I was so worried about fulfilling the vows that I made, my commitments, that I rushed. I didn't warm up properly. And I get to the pinnacle of the solo, which is a high note. It's the highest note on the alto saxophone. And squeak! I think about that all of the time. When I'm faced with the option for something good, and I really want to say yes, the Spirit reminds me of that squeak. And reminds me that it is okay sometimes to say no to good things so that I have enough time in my life to do the things that I have committed to well. It's hard to say no. But as kingdom people, learning how to be people that say no even to good things so that we can do the things we say we're going to do better, man, what an example we can set to the community around us. We live in such a busy day and age. And I think while Jesus' teaching on this wouldn't change at all, I wonder if Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount today, and he was talking about vows and oaths, I wonder if he wouldn't expand a little more on the importance of slowing down, on really considering the words we use, about being true to the commitments we make. And I think this leads into my second application. I want you to consider, how are you centering the activities of your life? What are you centering your life around? Are you just trying to make all pieces fit into your already busy life? Are you so overwhelmed with what's in front of you that you're just trying to make everything work? I've been there. And to be honest, most of my life feels like it's there. But the way of Jesus is different. The way of Jesus as kingdom people centers everything on the faithfulness of Jesus, on the worship of God with not just our lips, but with our hearts and our hands. When we live this way, we're continually thinking, does this commitment allow me to worship God in the way I was created to? Does this good thing allow me to be present for my family in the way they need me to be present? Would saying no to my kids' t-ball team this spring, would that hurt or would that benefit our family and ultimately my child's faith? I'm reminded that as kingdom people, we are not called to be a subculture of our society, but we are called to be a counterculture. And in the busyness of the world around us, what this world needs are men and women who follow through on their commitments, that say no to good things so they can have margin for their families, for their faith, for their community. In Jesus' teaching, he's talking about people swearing by heaven and by earth and Jerusalem on their heads. And these are all ways back in the ancient world that people would get around keeping their oaths. They would swear by Jerusalem because, yes, this is attached to God's faithfulness, but if I renege on this commitment, maybe it's okay. And all of the time, people would get out of their commitments by swearing on these things, by heaven and earth and Jerusalem and their head. And similarly, I find that we find ourselves in one of two camps. We're often trying to figure out how to get out of the thing that we have committed to. I said yes, but now I don't want to do that. How do I get out of it? Or we're trying to figure out how to make everything fit. And when we try to make everything fit, the first two things that always get dropped first are faith and your family. But as kingdom people, let's not be like those who are swearing by heaven and earth and Jerusalem in their heads. But let us be people that simply say yes or no, that commit and discern slowly. I wonder what Ogden Dunes would look like if just this segment of us were truly committed to our words. Wherever you are, what would it look like to say yes and mean it, and say no and mean it? As I was preparing this sermon, I thought how amazing it was that the Spirit aligned the sermon with the celebration of Walter and Anne. Their example of being people that commit to what they say is so true, and we are so grateful for the example they have set to us. Let us continue to be like Walter and Anne in this way, and let us continue our journey of deep formation as we continue through the Sermon on the Mount, and let us truly become kingdom people that are committed in all that we promise to do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.